Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, I'm Woogie.
We are the Mouth of Manliness. This is a podcast all about mental health, but it's not just mental health. It's kind of about people's lives and about how they cope and how they manage in the world.
Yeah, and digging into the stories that make them who they are.
Yeah, so it's real life stories where we talk about things that people have been through and how they've managed and how they've coped and how they've come out the other side. So sometimes it's just me and Woogie here, but more often than not, we're talking to guests, sometimes more well-known guests, but more often than anything, it's just normal people who have been through interesting situations.
Yeah, and they've all got a lovely story to tell.
Yeah, so Mouth of Manliness, we are about mental health, but we're more about people and stories.
So, welcome to the Mouth.
The Mouth of Manliness. Welcome to the Mouth of Manliness. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Nick. I'm waving, but you can't see me.
And this is Woogie. How's it going, people? I hope we're all right.
Yeah, Woogie's with us. And today, our guest is Jag Singh. And someone... Hi, Jag. Sorry, let's say hello
to you.
Hello,
mate. How are you?
Hi, Nick. How are you going? All right. Hi, Warren. How are you going? You all right? Thanks for this.
Very well, mate.
So I've actually been looking forward to doing this for quite some time, catching up with you, just basically because for those who, well, no one will know, Jag and I have kids in the same school, and we've never really talked, but we've been rushing to take the kids to school and then get off to work, and every morning I'd walk past you and you'd say hello. You'd be, all right, mate, all right, or smile, and do you know, and like, that really was lovely. What a lovely way to start a day with a stranger saying, all right. You know, it just don't happen. So so I just thought, well, it's going to be really nice. You know, there's no doubt about
the
that.
The thing is, Nick, in life, we'll fight our own personal battles, okay? And sometimes when there's someone, we don't know what they're going through in life. And to me, it's always been a kind of good gesture just to, if no one's smiling at you, smile at them, you know, although you always smiled back as well. Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't cost anything and it makes that person's day. It's such a simple thing in life.
It really is, mate. And it's interesting as well. Like, I've been spending a lot of time with some new friends of late, and something they always seem to do is compliment people. And I've not experienced that a lot lately. Like strangers, like we were out together, my friend's sort of gone, your dress is really lovely. And like, you know, and the person going, oh, really? So, oh, yeah, you know, and just that actual niceness and kindness and like that's not expected by people today. It's just, it's amazing how important it is, isn't it? Like, you can see the joy in people's faces, really can.
And on that, Warren, I mean, I speak to a lot of people who have close people who pass away and, you know, going through a bit of a bad time. And one of the questions I ask them is that, you know, if you could make time go back, what would be one of the things you'd do to that person? And you're right, Warren. They say compliment more. They go, we wish we could go back and say, thank you. Thank you. I mean, my wife around the house, my children, whatever small things they do, it's always thanks, cheers, thanks. And then I think they get sick of it sometimes, but I'm showing gratitude. I'm showing thank you. And it doesn't take much. It's just a word. Yeah.
It doesn't. You're right, 100%.
So, Jag, you're an author, a presenter, a motivational speaker, a motivator. Did I miss anything? Apart from just being generally really lovely.
Yeah, big humans, I was going to say. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing if you ask me. I think it is amazing. And I haven't read your book, I saw the cover of it, and it's got you as a kid on it.
That's it, mate. That's me and my brother. Me and my brother, Bob. Real name, Charanju, but yeah, it's got me and my brother on it. And that's an actual picture from the time that, you know, we were going through the tough times that we were.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, should we get started on talking about that then? Because then it kind of takes us on a journey to where you are now.
Yeah, of course. Nick, when I was young, when I was about in 1978, in the 70s, 1978, I was about 8 years old, which is the cover of the book, which I am 8 on the cover of the book. And it was like a tough time. We were the only Asian family in the whole area of Canning Town. There were no Chinese, no blacks, no nothing. And it was just us, and we were growing Sikh. So also I had a bobble on my head and everything. And no one recognised the religion of Sikhism, let alone someone with a different colour skin. So the first page of my book is wrong time, wrong place, you know, and we were at the wrong time, the wrong place. You know, we were the first generation, mum coming in 1945. So we were like, you know, the second generation. Our parents couldn't really help us much. So we entered a world where we had racist teachers in school. We had skinheads smashing our windows. We were bullied every day at school. There was no hope. There was no hope. And you know, the book talks about what I went through, and it's from the eyes of an 8-year-old, what he's seen and what's going around. And it was hard to go back in that time and write it down, but I'm not going to live forever, guys. I'm not going to be forever. And I wanted to somehow portray to people the true impact of bullying and the true impact of hate crime from the eyes of an 8-year-old, because you know, people don't stop and think that, you know, what we're doing, what kind of impact. I mean, these skinheads that actually smash our windows at that, they didn't care.
No.
Anyway, what happened eventually was, Nick, Warren, was that my house got petrol bombed. I'm not going to tell you too much, but house got petrol bombed. And when I was 8 years old and I saw my house burn, at that age, I made myself a promise. I'm going to do something out there. I don't know what it is. I didn't have a clue what it was. But I'll do something when I grew up to make this world a better place.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm, the motivation, everything that sort of comes up. And out of all that as well, I've got to bring up two lovely children. I've got to take care of my wife. I've got work to do in my daily job. But if people can understand the amazing power of time management, all this can be done. All can be done. So it's hard, but as you guys know yourself, with this great podcast you do, you have to organise yourself. And there's some people out there as well, they're just going riding for their life, watching Netflix marathons.
Yeah, I know.
On their phones, on Facebook. And that. And I saw all this happening, and I thought to myself, no, I need to do something. Yeah. So what I did was I joined the NSPCC, National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, and I worked as a volunteer. And I remember when I went to my first ever assembly, right? and I saw these kids sitting there, I'm thinking, that promise I made myself when I was 8 years old, today is my chance to live it, how to be safe, how to take care of each other, stay away from strangers. And you know, it just, so the promise that I was 8 years old was that, you know, we'll portray the message out there to people about bullying and hate crime, and hopefully someone out there will change, that one person will change their thinking. I think, you know, indeed, we're all humans, one planet, let's get along.
See, what a lovely response to be, even at 8 years old, to come up with a positive way instead of an aggressive way as a response. So instead of it being a negative response and full of hate, your immediate way, and that says a lot about how you must have been brought up from by your parents through love, clearly, to immediately go, I want to do something good to change. It's not, do you know what I mean? That alone speaks volumes about how you were brought up, to be pretty honest, from my perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Warren, you're 100% right, because my dad always used to say to me, well, we're going through these times, and he knew it was not only tough at home, it was tough at school. He knew.
Of course he did, yeah.
And he used to say to us, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. We're going to have to go through these times, but we're going to go through these times so that one day we can make it better for the next person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when Equality Acts and Diversity Acts came out, it was like, what? These things are coming out all that, it doesn't matter what time Act comes out, it still takes a lot of time for society to mould into it, so it's still carried on a little bit. But I mean, the fact was, there's something there.
I think it is interesting, because I grew up, I was born in the 80s, I grew up in East London, really, like I went to school in Oxton, and I grew in, and my dad, he's, so we'll see, he was born in 58, my mum was born in the 60s, so he sort of was brought into a multicultural society, so I was all automatically brought into it. But then when we left East London and we went to Essex, it was a little bit like going a little bit back in time. I'm brutally honest, as a teenager, even, and like even being around sort of Greys at like 18, thinking, things need to change a little bit here. And I think, unfortunately, that inherent way of thinking, it comes a lot from a struggle, I think, and a lot of the unknown, isn't it, with people?
People
tend to be scared of things they don't know about. And unfortunately, that goes down to the colour of skin, it goes down to beliefs, religion, all sorts of things. And it is
sexuality,
yeah, massively. Yeah. Like, and it is all just scaremongering, and groups that then, again, their response is hate. Not positive, let me shake your hand and find out about your life, which is actually what the punk movement was about. It was about actually finding out about people and projecting stuff for people. You know, it wasn't necessarily for anger. It's very interesting of a time and a place, and how even today, post the acts and post things and acceptance of, you know, government, sexuality, racism, that like people are actually understanding what's going on a bit better now. But it's it's a constant struggle, I feel. But
yeah, what you just said there, there were some, my mum used to be walking down the street, or exactly what you're saying there, and they were genuinely concerned why individuals used to come over to my mum and say, tell us more about your country. What's it like up there? What are you wearing these? And they were genuinely nice people. They did exist. And yeah, they even exist today. But I think we just need a bit more of it, a bit more, rather than labelling a certain individual or culture with anything. We just
celebrate it. Celebration of difference, you know, and how that affects, and again, right, it's a positive way, like how that affects children, and how you, like, you know, how you influence, because you are what you're shown, right? So how that affects your, because that affects how you are in society generally, and when you meet people, like, to have a positive response, to find out about who and why they are, you know.
It's just I find it surprising, like, how you know, you look at I don't want to get into politics much, but how divisive things are made to be. So, you know, with Brexit, it was very much, you know, immigrants coming in, and it's like that suddenly, by doing that, they are continuing the problem, you know, by kind of making that an issue again, then the problem is there still. And I do think things have got a bit, you know, things with, going a bit backwards again, and you know, like, we kind of think in our middle class world, and you know, like, that everything's all right, but it's really not. There's still it's kind of these, a lot of anger is coming up again, and yeah, it's just like, hold on, that's a person, people, like, it really is, like, let's just, if we'd just be nice to each other, we can actually all be much happier.
I mean, guys, when I was growing up, one of the questions I asked myself for many years was, why do these people do this to us? Why do they treat us like this? Why do the skinheads, blah, 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 why does this happen? And I came to the conclusion that nobody is born a racist. Yeah. Nobody is born as a hatred towards it. You're not born with it. It don't happen. Like we touched on earlier, it's the parents, it's the guardians, the people around them that give them that kind of, like, label, and you kind of, like, grow up with it, and that's as a society today, and I hope we, obviously, in certain households, still more action needs to be taken. But in a society today, it's like, we tell our children, no, everyone's the same. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what color they are. They're a human being. They got a heart. They cry. They sleep.
Yeah.
They do everything you do. They are you. That's the end of the story. There's no bigger, smaller, and that is the message that, you know, hopefully the book will send out to everyone out there.
I'm often quite surprised, you know, like when I through my work and things, and people will say, well, my dad does that, so they just automatically do it. They don't even question it. Like, my dad always puts ketchup on a roast dinner, so I do it. And it's like, do you like it though? Well, no, I But my dad does it, and it's like, we don't need to blindly walk into things. You know, your parents might have an opinion on something. You don't necessarily have to agree with it. You don't just blindly follow things, like, question, you know, like, experiment in the world. So then what happened then, Jake? That, like, how did things move on for you? Like, as in, you know, your life, really? From that kind of awful thing.
Well, to tell you the truth, I did what most human beings do as a reaction to something that bad happens to me, is pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
I try to blank it out of my head. I know people around me who went through that time as well, and some of them are like drug addicts, heroin, alcoholics. And the real reason why they were going through this depression stage was because they never faced their fear. They never faced the fact that, wait a minute, I went through this and I'm not going to ignore it. And it was obviously affecting them in a way because they didn't open up to speak to someone or do something about it. What can you do about it? The past is a past, it's gone. But what can we do about tomorrow, I thought. I thought myself, well, for many years, I was working 9 to 5, trying to earn a bit of money. I was a big financial consultant in City. Then one day I just stopped and I thought, Jag, you made yourself a promise. What's happened with it, man? What's happened? So then I delved into an amazing world of motivational book reading. I came across Anthony Robbins and you know, these guys made me, and up to this day, I still read I've got a motivational book going around the house all the time, because, and my children are the same, they do the same. I encourage everyone out there to grab motivational books. And you don't have to believe everything the book tells you to do. So you need to pick and choose what you want and what works for you. So then I indulge into the world of motivation, and that was it, Nick Warren, that was it. It was like, kaboom. It was like, I wanted to do so much. I remember when I first done my, we'd done a well-being chat, an insurance company, and I'd never spoken in front of a crowd, and I walked in this room and there's about 500 people there, and I'm thinking, good. But I did what most actors and what most motivational speakers do, is I let my passion take over, just like you guys do.
When you do
your podcast, you just let your passion take over. And with what happened to me in the past, can you imagine, I was just rearing to go, and that message got across.
Yeah. Oh, it totally works. I never really thought of it in those terms, but I've stood up and talked in front of loads of people, and I did through work as well, and people were often quite surprised, and I was like, no, I've got to make myself care about it, so then I can just bash it, and I'm like, you will hear me, you know. I love doing stuff like that. That's a right buzz. My wife, you know, doesn't understand at all. Standing up and showing off in front of people, I do that all day long. I love it. Brilliant. It's the motivational books are I find if I'm like feeling low, which I do get, I quite often I do watch motivational stuff on YouTube, and you shared some stuff that you've done on there, and I've looked at the Tony Robbins stuff, and I watched that documentary on him as well.
And
what interests me is that there's common threads through most things. So, like, there was bits that he was doing, like, with the ice baths, which was a bit like Wim Hof, and, you know, like, just, like, the breathing techniques, kind of boost yourself up and get yourself ready. And there's real common threads through there. And I think some people would say, oh, that's all bullshit. But for me, I'm like, if there's a common thread going through all of that, then there's something there. There's something going on there that's working.
I'll tell you what, Nick, right? When I first ever got my first motivational book, which is in 1991, I was 21 years old, I brought it home. And one of my relatives came in the house and said, what are you reading that Mungo Jumbo for? He said, no, you don't need to read none of that. The guy's just trying to make money out of you. Do you know what? I did totally the opposite. I went and bought another four motivational books. I am, like, 20-odd years later, and I'm still doing it. It's the best thing I ever did, you know? It's the best thing I ever did. So, yeah, you're right there, yeah.
Yeah, like it does work. I find you have to kind of just do that leap of faith thing, really. Like, I've just started reading Jimmy Carr's book. My mum got it for my mum, knowing that, you know, I'm mental, she likes to kind of prop me up by getting me books that she thinks I'll enjoy. She got me like a Darren Brown one, Happiness, and I, like, there was loads in that that I kind of took and that have really helped me. And like reading the Jimmy Carr one, it is the most kind of watered down, sanitized version of a self-help book, but it's really good. It is really actually quite motivating.
I know.
Like, it really has got me thinking, oh, right, I could do that. And you know, like you were saying, there's a lot of time in the day. We do a lot of time in the day doing not a lot. And what I've loved about lockdown, it's given me loads of time. Yeah. So, like, I do loads of things. Like, me and Warren are working on, like, different music projects, do this, and a full-time job, and kids and everything. Mm. And it's like, it can be done, and you can still have a proper night's sleep.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I'm just like, make it into a routine. Work everything into a routine, and then I'll do it.
See, like...
And get me right, sorry guys, get me right. Also, it's now and again, you after doing all that, you do deserve the right to have a day to chill.
Oh yeah.
Just chill out with family, relax, take it easy, because you deserve that chillness as well. It's not 7 days a week. Like you said, we can find a time and chilling out and undivided attention with the partner, undivided attention with the children. I mean, just sit there, just talk to them, or just listen to them, you know?
Yeah.
And I always feel as if when I do that, I go away and I think, Yeah, I'm doing it.
You know? Yeah. See, I have like my children every other weekend and stuff. And it's like, I always, because I work for myself as well, like there was always a guilt that I've always got an email to come that I have to answer. And like, I become known to work all hours, you know, because you just do with freelance. It's like, fuck it, I can do it. But sort of now I've had like some changes in the relationship that with them and stuff. And it's all like, you know, it's different, but we're getting through it. But fundamentally, it's like my phone is now locked in the car. And I'm like, where are we going? My phone is in the car. When I had last Sunday, I left my phone in here and I went out for dinner all afternoon and just had a day and without even thinking about using it. And it's unbelievable. So I went back and I only missed, like, I missed one email or something, but it was Sunday. And it's like that guilt used to actually take me over a little bit. And I used to feel quite compelled. And I'd wake up with anxiety about the fact that someone thinks, it's like, do you know what? Actually, my well-being and mental health is far more important than me answering that email. So if I do that versus that, I know what I need to do actually now.
And if you're not well, then you're not very good anyway. You know, like that's what I kind of had to remind myself is that if I'm not doing very well, then, you know, I'm shit at being a dad, I'm shit at work, and I'm shit at everything. So like, I kind of make an effort to try and look after my well-being. Trying to explain this to my daughter the other day. It's like, what about you? What about you? You matter as well, you know, like whatever your friends think. What about you? Where are you in this?
What are you? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, nothing is what I'm saying there right now, and I say this all the time, nothing is worth affecting our mental health. Nothing.
No.
There's nothing wrong with having a whole load of tasks to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong when you have so many tasks to do that you start feeling overwhelmed, panicky. Am I going to get this done? You know, the heart starts palpitating. Now we've got a problem here. Now, the way I always tackle that problem is by reschedule, man. Cut down, take it easy. Okay. And then what you do is you go in priorities. Like you said, Warren, work. You don't work, you don't eat, you don't get money. Right. So you need to prioritize a few things, you know, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Work comes first. I've got to get food on the table. And secondly, what comes next? Family. Okay, family. Okay. Thirdly, what comes? Okay, my side things. We just need to, when we start thinking to ourselves, wait a minute, whoa, what's going on? We just need to reschedule. Right. Maybe those 10 tasks you've got planned for today, just cut them down to 4. And do you know what? You think, whoo,
that's a
whole load of heavy baggage has gone off my back. I feel chilled. Mm-hmm. And it's not as if you're lazy. It's not as if you're not going to do it. It's not as if you've got a passion, but how about just rescheduling it for another day?
Yeah, and then reward yourself and pat yourself on the back when you have achieved something. Like, I think that's really important. You know, break things down, do things in smaller chunks, but make sure you pat yourself on the back that you did 4 things well rather than 10 things badly. I think that's really important. So, go on.
Man, I was going to say, it's just that I think the nature of where I got used to always saying yes. Yeah. And I've got myself some really, really good jobs from saying yes, though. Even when they were saying I couldn't do it, I've never done it before, I'd always go, yeah, of course I can. But then the problem is that I'll promise to deliver something, everything on a Tuesday. I'd be like, fucking hell, and I still ain't done half of them. And it's funny. And that is bit. And I'm only just, if I'm brutally honest, I'm only just getting better at it.
You are getting better.
Once a year, I don't do everything all at once. If I can't, if I'm late, if I'm going to struggle, like I was meant to be with Nick today, but I got outside and the traffic's murder, and I'm like, right, if I leave now, but I had to do something. So it's like, so I just built him up and went, I was going to come, I miss you, but I'm going to do it for Zoom, because then I can make myself a bit of dinner later, you know, like, And then it's better,
And this hectic world that we live in, right? Well, I call it a hectic world, but I call it loving chaos. I love everything I do. Loving chaos. I love it. It's brilliant. Yeah. And this world that we live in, sometimes we need to sit there, and this is really important. We need to make a little list. And that list is, what activity do I do that makes me feel chilled out?
Yeah.
Make a list. Watching telly, playing badminton. No. And when you're thinking like this, the office will try and creep into your head, and you'll think, no, I like doing work as well. Now, let that go for a minute. Let's think about those three things we like to do to make us feel, whoa. It could be going to a wine bar with a partner, it could be going out with the boys. Just that thing that just kind of lets your hair down a little bit. And then that list we need to use as many times in a week as we can, really, because if you're working hard, doing all the things you guys do, and you know, all the stuff I do, we deserve it as well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a engaging with your core beliefs at the therapy talk, but essentially doing
it's
the things.
Raising your serotonin, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
It's making you happy.
Do the things you like doing, as much as you can.
Mm.
You know, as long as it's not like, you know, drugs and stuff.
it could mean even going onto London Bridge and looking over the river. It could be anything. It could be going for a walk. It could be staying on the hill.
I love
going for a drive.
I think it's beautiful. That's it.
Yeah, you like to get out and walk.
Get outdoors, have a bit of it all that in your lungs. Wicked, love it.
And what you said there, Warren, about the phone is brilliant. You know, I mean, I've got so many. I've got a Twitter account. I've got a YouTube account. Blah, 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 blah. But my children and my partner spend more time on the phone than I do.
Yeah.
And mine, I have a time a day. All right, I'm gonna do half an hour there, I'm gonna leave the phone, I'm gonna do half an hour there. And as before you know it, you get sunk into the world of what's he doing, what's he saying, what's going on there, what's going on there. And I have a point myself when it's like, switch off, done. I'm gonna go and do a workout, or I'm gonna go and write my book, or I'm gonna work on something. That's it, done. It's that time management thing. Because this time we've got, right, ain't gonna come back again. This is it. We got to make a lot of people make decisions wishy-washy. They don't sit there and think, wait a minute, if I spend 10 hours watching Netflix, that kind of an effect on my life. Could I phone Nan up and have a word with her and I find out how she is? Could I sat there and take my kids for a little stroll around the park? No. People don't stop to make that decision. They go, right, next one. Next one, before they're doing the marathon telly, and that time's gone, it's not going to come back.
I don't think it's as inspirational as it. I mean, if I'm brutally honest, I watch Netflix I watch cooking programs because I'm about to go into a bit of a venture doing cooking. So, and like, I've been infatuated with it, but I watch it and I won't necessarily binge it. I'll get excited and I'll go and do something. Like, I think a lot of people, maybe they haven't found what could inspire them to do something.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know? Because I think sometimes you'll see something watching, you know, 20 hours worth of Squid Game, which I've never watched. I've seen the advert for it and I half fancy it, but I still ain't turning it on. What can I fucking do? Do you know?
I want to watch that as well. The only thing with me is it takes me about 6-7 months to finish a series and I forget what the last episode was.
Funnily enough, I watched it in like 3 days. but it's because my brain needs to do lots of things at any one time. So, I'm in my office come studio come workshop, and I like work from home like 2 or 3 days a week. So I'll have it on. I'll have one computer there, my work computer there, and I'll do like work for an hour, 10 minutes on the guitar, whilst I'm watching the program at the same time. And I'm not taking it in massively, but there's very little. I try and kind of take a film in more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think because we have so much TV, you don't invest in it in the same way. So you don't like get the enjoyment out of it in the same way because you've just got so many options.
Yeah.
And, but I've always, when I was little, like I've been starting to kind of put together some writing. And I was thinking about when I was younger and how like my mum was OCD basically with cleaning, and I would just be put in front of a TV, and I can't not have a TV on. I hate it. I don't like silence. I find it really, really uncomfortable. I try
something like that, yeah.
And I just can't deal with it. And I think that's because it's kind of ingrained in me. Not to say I can't change it, of course I can. But yeah, so I kind of like to do 100 things at once, and I'm always thinking about the next thing. But it gives me a lot of motivation. If I sit for too long, I kind of go into myself. Yeah. So, like, I have to be kind of, I have to really kick myself up the arse to be motivated and to do things.
Just like you, Nick, there's two things that I think when I was going through a tough time that depression made me go through was one, was jumping into self-improvement constantly. Mm. Find something you can do every day to self-improve your life. So that's the first thing. And the second one was that I used to keep, was action. I need to do it. Don't just think about it. Don't just write it down on a piece of paper. What do you do? Right, you want to go to the gym, you want to get fit. What are you doing about it? It's on the paper. What's happening with it? You're going to join a gym?
Yeah.
That'd be a good start. So obviously I joined a gym and took it from there. It says action. That's the first thing to keep yourself mind occupied and self-worth as well, that you're doing something. And second is obviously to, you know, just say to yourself, what am I going to do? What next steps am I going to do? I've got to take some sort of action. And that's exactly the way you work, Nick, you know? You're constantly doing it. And also you find a time to do what makes you feel good.
Action is the enemy of thought, I heard years and years ago, which I really like.
I like that.
Yeah, if you're doing something, then you're not thinking about things that aren't going to make you feel good. It's weird because like, I think for a long time doing the podcast, like I was throwing myself into it so much and I was kind of reaching for things rather than just enjoying it for what it is. And now I've sat back and started to just enjoy things for getting the good bits out of it that I like and not making it feel like it's got to be this or it's got to be that or got to make money. A load of good things have happened, you know, like when you actually just kind of bring it down to what you actually like, why do I want to do it? Well, I want to like talk to people and I want, you know, people to feel better. And if you're just doing it for that, then like good things have happened, didn't they? Like we did.
We've had live shows, we've been invited to festivals.
Yeah.
We, you know, more to the point, we've developed our friendship beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we're doing like loads of different stuff now. We get the opportunity to hang out and let some steam off between us as well, which is needed, I think.
But did you notice that, like, when we stopped trying with music, then good things started to happen? It's only when we kind of stopped trying so hard that it was the universe opens up for you.
And if you go back in time, like I said earlier on, a lot of people make wishy-washy decisions. You guys came up with an idea to do a podcast. Now, can you imagine, right, if you hadn't taken the action, you hadn't done nothing, and you thought, do you know what, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it some other day. You left it for years and years and years. But you guys took the effort of thinking, no, we're going to make this happen. We're going to do this. And you did. And now you're doing it with passion. I mean, you wouldn't even like to live in a world where you wasn't doing what you're doing now. And nor would I. I wouldn't like to live in that world. I'm glad I've taken the steps that I have. And I'm glad the plans that I've got. And it's the same thing with you guys. You know, you get to speak to so many people and you hear this and some good messages go out to the people out there. It's excellent. Brilliant.
My favourite thing. So I joined this podcast like a season and a bit ago now. So I came on to help produce it and to put it together when Nick's first co-host decided he didn't want to do the podcast anymore, and he used to make it as well, so I helped him out with it. And my career is making music and it's doing podcasting, so that's what I've done. Like, so and I was like, yeah, I fancied it. And then I was a guest on the podcast, and the ability to sort of offload a lot to my new friend, but obviously quite publicly, it did something. It changed my thought process. And then since then, every story I've heard has left me with, some are quite, have been pretty hard actually to deal with. But it's not like you're not putting any the weight of some of those problems on your shoulders. What you're doing is helping to find common denominators and things that actually, like the good responses that I've had from really negative situations, that I had massive amounts of depression, anxiety as a result of things that happened in my life. But then when you, it's not a comparing game, but it's not about what happened. It's just about how people cope.
Yeah.
And the coping mechanisms are what I've always found massively inspirational. Like we did, you know, like we've spoken to lots of people about suicide and some quite heavy, heavy things to hear. And people that have been saved by strangers and these like knights in shining armor characters. And that amount of like goodwill in a human and trust without prejudgment as well. Because the thing is, we've all done things that people think we are shitbags for, right? And that opinion can carry on through life. And you will change and twist and turn. But when nobody actually asks you, how are you now? And it's like, and that bugs me for years, because I'm a different person I was 10 years ago. And it still has bugged me. It still does. But listening to the fact that actually, if you close the door on those negative thoughts and those negative people, and you're not let them bother you, and then you're influenced by the positive nature of humans and effectively the love of friendships and stuff, and eliminate that negative stuff out of you, it does the world of good for you and for them, what you pass on to people. Like that's what this podcast has done for me personally. Yeah. But then if you compare that to then what our listeners, and we've got some really lovely people that send lovely messages and about just our natters, it's like, we're doing something, can't we? We're actually doing something, you know, and that's better than doing nothing.
There was in that Jimmy Carr book, he says, he's estranged from his dad, and obviously dad issues always spark me. And he was saying that he had to learn to accept the apology he was never going to get.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And that's, I thought, that's fucking superb. Well put.
That is superb. That is, anyone out there who has had issues with the parents in the past or whatever, I need to take that one on board. You know, 100%, because you can spend all your life waiting. Do you really need it? Do you really want it?
Yeah.
Nah. You're strong enough, and you know, if you've got faith and belief in yourself, you can make it happen. That's not needed. That's not needed at all.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was thinking about, what you were saying, Warren, about, you know, like the past, things that have happened in the past and the way people may perceive you from the past. It doesn't really matter.
No. And it's
done.
Yeah, exactly. And
you,
I think
you improve yourself every day that when you're not doing that, you know.
Yeah, I think so. It's just very interesting because, again, it is about motivation. It's about... Because I've stopped surrounding myself with people actually that I've had negative thoughts about because of whatever. Because I it's always like I'm trying to find blame, I guess, for whatever. I don't know, or reconciliation with it. And it's actually, as long as you continue to sort of change your path.
I mean, I spoke to an expert. And he's a great guy. He's such a good motivator. And he said to me, I asked him a question. I said, right, with all the stuff you've done, man, if you could put it in a few words of how we can all defend our mental health, what would it be? He goes, I can't tell you that. That's the secret. I said, no, tell me, what would be the secret? So I want to tell everyone this whenever I see someone or help someone. He said, move away. I mean, what? What do you mean move away? He goes, well, if you're worrying about the past, what's that going to get you? Nothing. Move away. Just let it go. I don't like that person. He's bad to me. He makes me, I hate him. Why are you wasting time hating that person? Move away.
Yeah.
Just keep moving away. And I thought, you know what? I never thought about that. Move away. It's hard, though, sometimes. Obviously, certain people need to go to the doctors, get therapy. I understand that. But if we can start the process of, and we're sitting there on ourselves thinking about something that happened 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Really going to make a difference, right? That has happened or whatever. And what am I going to get out of thinking about it?
Yeah.
Nothing. I'll feel more down about it. I'm going to think, oh, no. Do you know what? It's happened, Jake. There you go now. Think of something else. And automatically think of something productive. Like, okay, what am I going to do with my children tomorrow? What am I going to do different on my podcast next time? What kind of book am I going to write? Automatically, that other thought is getting buried down, 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 down. And eventually, you won't even have time. I knew a guy, and he was addicted to cocaine, really heavily. We're talking about £500 a night habit. And he got off it. And I saw him after 15 years, and he's clean. He's got a business. He's driving a Rolls Royce. I said, how'd you do it, man? You was terrible. He goes, Jack, you know what? It was hard, but the more I thought about it, the more I wanted it. So what I did was I moved away from it, and it was hard, but eventually there came a time I wasn't even thinking about it. He moved away from it. Yeah. That's all he did. And that's the thing. Those thoughts that are unproductive and not going to do nothing for us, why are we wasting our time thinking about that? What is that going to... I sometimes stop to myself when I'm thinking about something negative, because I'm only human. Mm-hmm. I think about that negative, and I stop and I say to myself, how is this thought going to benefit me? What am I going to get out of it? Nothing.
No, I do that.
What's going to do for me? So why am I wasting my time?
I do that. I catch myself. And I'm like, why am I thinking that?
Yeah.
Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Like, that's really not helpful. And now I feel shit. So I catch myself doing it. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's about... I think a lot of it's about self-worth. It's like believing that you're worth investing in. Like if you think, you know, you are worth investing in, and investing in sometimes is doing things like cutting certain people out of your life because they make you feel bad. Then you've made, like, it doesn't matter. Like they might think you're out of order. But if you, like, you're straight with it, or, you know, you say, like, look, I'm sorry, no hard feelings. It's like in AA, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, you know, there's no hard feelings. But for me, I need to go and do this, and I need to step away. And then, like, that's you investing in yourself. And I think when you do these things, when you invest in yourself in all these little ways, it lifts your self-worth. Because you're like... And then you think, oh, I could do a bit more.
It's like what I said before, Nick. Nothing is worth affecting our mental health. Nothing. So, again, if we've got that person around us that we always meet and causes us stress, I don't want to be around them. God, they're just, they drive you crazy. You don't have to be near them. You don't have to go near them. Move away from them. Anyone, we put ourselves in that position. And again, as I said, nothing is worth our own mental health. And anyone makes us feel like that, it's like children at school. If they're around kids that bully them or make them feel uncomfortable, put them down, just get away from them. My granddad used to say a great thing, and I'll never forget that. He said, if you hang about your dogs, I've got fleas, you're going to get them yourself.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. And I taught my kids that as well. So if you've got someone around you who's making you feel awkward, and that my person, the sad part sometimes is that person might be your nearest and dearest.
That's the sad part sometimes, and then
you have to just come out clean and put your cards on the table. Listen, I don't like the way you're treating me. You're my brother, you're my sister or whatever, but I don't like it. I'm giving you a chance, sort it out. I don't need this. Yeah, and you need to just change your ways. Would I take it in or not? That's their choice.
I try and kind of mentally disassociate, so I might be with someone and, you know, like a family member, I don't, it does make me, like, triggers things. And I just try and disassociate my brain and put it over there a little bit. So they're not hurting me. You know, whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing is not hurting me, because I'm not really there. I'm over there thinking about guitars. You know, I'm thinking about something I like rather than just, like, engaging.
And that's another one. Another one on that one is no one can hurt you without your permission.
Yeah.
No
one. No one can hurt you without your permission.
That's good.
They need your permission before they hurt you, so they can say whatever they want, be as awkward as they want. If you decide in your head, listen, it doesn't matter what you do, don't really bother me. Yeah. And that's what I tell my kids, and the same thing applies to bullying. When kids call other kids, it's like, they may have called you a name, but they can't hurt you without permission. You can just walk away like I did when in 78. I mean, I'm used to it. I'm not really going to make a difference now. I'm not going to go home and cry about this. She's called me a name.
Yeah, it's up to you how you feel.
Like, you can, recently I was in an on-off relationship that was sort of, it wasn't good for my mental health. And until I realised it, and you realise that the behavioural patterns of somebody else affecting you because of their, maybe them not being too stable or whatever. But it's, I remember that point of wake up and going, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't. And it was hard. Like, I mean, you remember this, Nick, obviously. And then you meet somebody else and it's like, oh, wow, like,
yeah,
that's, I didn't realize it was so different. I didn't realize that there was something else, because I'd constantly gone back to the thought process of that person. And that has happened to me with friends as well, and not just partners. And it's like that behavior is so hard to get to from fear, I think, as well. And as you said, it's about realizing that it's fine. Like that change can just happen. You've got to just deal with it, do it.
And one thing there, Warren, you did by doing that was you saved yourself. Right? Yes. I see why you saved yourselves, because some people stay in those kind of relationships for years and years. And they know. They never get that wake up call. Because they're in a comfort zone, they're okay, or it'll be all right one day.
That mentality is so hard, because it affects you in every way. When your expectations of somebody aren't met, and then they might do something to sort of glimmer it a bit, and do you know what? Actually, it's going to be, of course, this is how it is. And then it goes back to the same circle again, the same cycle of poor behaviour and mistreating and feeling unloved or unwanted from somebody, constant rejection. And it's like, that is just because of how someone is, and they can't give you that. And if they can't give you that, they can't give you that.
It's a weird one, because I think sometimes in those kind of situations, especially if someone, the other person, you know, might have mental health problems or going through a tough time, you kind of put yourself in this position of like a saviour. And I think that the saviour is... that's a big lie. The saviour is actually the victim. You're not being a saviour, you're being a victim. You put yourself into this victim position when you're like, oh, but what about me, really? Yeah. But you're not doing anything about it because you're being a victim. Yeah. And it's really difficult. But then at some point you turn and then your life changes just a little bit and you're like, whoa. Now I've done that for years. And I've had so many things in my life. I'm like, I've done that for years.
But like I said before, a lot of people they know what's wrong, but they're ignorant about it. It's like, well, no, it doesn't exist. It's okay. But realistically, life in all areas of our life, whether it's health, finance, taking care of yourself, your mental health, every area, we just need to sometimes sit back and have a little track. Am I really healthy? Am I eating good? Am I going to the gym? Maybe not gym, I'm having a walk. Number two, do I think of crap in my head all the time? There's a lot of things that I don't really need to think about. So many different areas. One of those areas is where you sit yourself and you think to yourself, well, what can I do to better my relationship? And let's start with that. It's like the old JFK saying, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country, and say it applies to your relationships. What can you do? Let's not point the finger at no one else first. Let's point the finger at ourselves. What is anything we can do first? Because people have this tendency to just blame everyone sometimes. Is it his fault? Is her fault? Is she? Whoa. Let's see with yourself first. Is there anything you can do better?
Yeah, I think quite often you're like, oh, that's because my dad did that, and that's because, you know, she doesn't love me. When you're like, it's really easy to externalise everything and blame everything else. When actually, you know, you got into a relationship, I was in a job that I hated for a long time. I got into the job, I walked into it with open eyes and accepted it. What I couldn't accept was that I needed to leave. And it's only when I'm like, hold on, this is in my hands.
Yes, responsibility.
It's in my hands. You know, it's my fault that I'm not doing anything about it. It's not their fault for being arseholes. It's my fault for not doing anything about it. It's a difficult thing. But I think, accepting responsibility for your own stuff. And if you're responsible for your own stuff, then you can do stuff about everything. And like, there are things that are difficult that are, you know, hard. You can't, that you tend to have to negotiate, like with kids and shit. You know, I can't just tell them what they will do. But and that's where negotiation and putting your brain somewhere else helps, I think.
And one thing we always almost remember, and I love saying this, is that it's our birthright to be happy. It's our birthright. Mm-hmm. We were born to be happy. That's it. And all these things that happen around our life, whether it be relationships or whatever, we need to fix them. If we can't fix them, we need to move away from them. And, and we must get out of that zone that we start making ourselves feel down, overthinking things that we don't need to. Once we can get out of that zone, we can sit back and we can say to ourselves, do you know, what can I, where, how can I start with myself? I mean, you know, someone can go out there tomorrow. I can sit there tomorrow and think to myself, no, I want to learn Japanese. Or think to myself, no, I'll tell you one of the honor guns, parachute gliding. Yeah, we can do this, but so the clock ticks and we still sit there in that same area where we don't want to go outside and try something different. Like you said, Nick, with that job, he sat here and said, they may be like that, but I can do something about this.
Yeah.
And you did.
Yeah, it's in my hands in the end. And you're like, bah, what about the money? And then you're like, and then my wife's like, it's making you ill. Like, yeah. I don't know whether you're going to be alive in a month's time. You need to fucking do it. And then you do it and you're like, oh, I can't believe I put up with that. Mm. Like, I, you know, you think that you're so not worth it, that you're so not good that you will put up with so much shit. And it's like, no, how did I ever get into that point? You know, like, how do we, and it is, it's things you tell yourself, you know, it's the overthinking about things. I try and, like, if I'm worrying about something, I'll be like, when do I really need to worry about it? Mm. I need to worry about it in 2 weeks' time. So I'll worry about it the day before. Like, I'll prepare, get stuff done, but I'll do the worrying when I really need to worry about it. Mm. And I'll let myself off the rest of the time.
And that's another thing. What I learned from Anthony Robbins was something amazing. It's called vocational vocabulary. A vocational vocabulary is that the words that we use every day we become, right? And I learned, and I fall straight back to my school when I'm thinking the boys walking around, the girls going effing this and effing that, swearing because they think they're hard. But you sit back and look at their characters, you think, oh, what a mess. But the vocational vocabulary they're using every day, effing this, effing that. And if we carry on using words like depression, down, upset every day, they make us exactly that. So what we need to sometimes do is just sit back and think to ourselves, do I really need that word? I mean, there's a lot of cultures that don't even know what the word mourning means when someone passes away. They don't know what depression means. What depression? We're talking about depression. And therefore, they don't experience that feeling. So sometimes we could be our own worst enemy when using those words that put us down. So we just choose our words as well. Exhilarating. I'm going to go and smash it today. I feel top of the world. The morning when you wake up, you say to yourself, first 5 seconds, you must say to yourself, do you know what? Today's going to be an excellent day. And gratitude is the best attitude. Yeah, I'm alive, I've got my family, I've got everything. I can do anything. Give it a go.
You've been doing a bit of that, though, haven't you, Warren? Like the kind of morning...
In the morning, just waking up and having a bit of a slower start to the day. Sitting and, like, trying not to look at my phone the minute I wake up. And, like, and putting it across the way and, like, and actually just sitting and just breathing, doing a little bit of meditation, like, you know, just to feel a bit, you know, and, like, and to get excited and be like, right, cool, it's going to be all right, let's crack on. And, I mean, I've had a constant amount of stuff happen of late, and it's like, well, it's all right, though, you know what I mean? I'm still here, I'm in a good place with friends and family, and that, like, it's, do you know what I mean? It's, you know, I'm loved. What else do you need? You know, so.
And just watching your reaction by what you just said, that small little statement you made there, Warren, just watching your, did you see the facial expressions of Warren? It was like, you're on top of the world, man.
Yeah.
It's a small process. Yeah, it's such a simple, small process, but look at the effect it has that is even affecting you right now.
Yeah. And that's it. It's good. It's important, I think.
Life is all, and I really do, the more and more I go through life now, it's all about those little things. And if you do all those little things quite regularly, like, you keep on top of things. Like, I haven't hit a low point for months and months, which is pretty insane for me. And it really is. It's like, I just kind of sit back quite often and think, I've got all these good things.
Yeah.
Like, I've got all these good things. And like, for the first time in my life, I'm like, I'm doing all the things that I've always wanted to do. I might not get to do them all full time.
And it's going to get better, Nick. And it's going to get better, bro.
And it's like, I get to do all these things that, like, I've had dreams come true. And it's like, I might not get to do it full time, but I get to do it.
Do it.
And then you're like, that's something to be pleased about. And now I'm like, I've got a bit more wonder at the world. You know, like just like this open view of wonder that things can happen. And as long as you're out there and you're in the game, then things will happen. If you're indoors,
and we just said then, Nick, what you said then, it's so important. As long as you're in the game, things are going to happen. That's so important because people who fail, who don't even bother trying, they fail by default.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. It's done. I love those words. As long as you're in the game, you're going the right, as long as you're walking the right direction, as long as you're trying to make an effort with relationship, as long as you're trying to make something of your life, living your dream, then you're on the right road. Yeah. And people come and ask me, they say to me, Jag, okay, so how can we have everything in our life? How can we have the best? And I say to them, first of all, first thing is character. And I tell my children this, character is so important. You ask yourself, what's my character like? Am I a good person? Would I like to be friends with myself? And if you're nice, polite, and it's not hard, your character is very important. And the second thing is what you said earlier, Nick, is how, it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how we react. Very important. That is so, on our friend, once his boy accidentally drops a spoon on the floor, he's like, what have you done? You dropped a spoon on the floor. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
He hasn't dropped a nuclear bomb. It's a spoon. And people go, my mum's well known for everything. Oh my God, a crumb goes on the floor. It's like, why are you dropping a biscuit on the floor? Reaction. It's only a biscuit. So what? It's only a spoon. So what? So the first thing is character. Otherwise, everyone, if we can all work on our character every day, we can work on ourselves. And secondly, how we react to what happens to our life. Let's not beat ourselves up over it. It's happened. It's happened. I know it's hard. I know it's tough, but you're strong enough. You can do it. You can do it. You don't believe in yourself.
Yeah. There's a lot about that in the Jimmy Carr book, actually, about, you know, so what? Like that happens, so what? Like, what difference does it really make now? You know, it's done, it's happened. Let's just deal with things as they come up now. And the thing is, it can sound a bit glib, but it is true. You know, these are like basic truths that,
and it comes with experience as well. Because when you're young and your first girlfriend leaves you, or your boyfriend leaves you, and you're broken down, how am I gonna live no more? It's like it's all over. But as time goes on, as you get older, you get more mature, you can take the punches a bit more easily. They numb down a little bit, but that's all because you have to be mentally strong as well. Let's say things like this are going to happen sometimes, things are not going to go the way I want them. That's life.
Oh, when my first proper relationship, when I got dumped, I went into a 4-year depression, like 4-year. That was like me fucking therapy, medication, self medication, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and I suppose really that kicked off my 10-year bender, really. Which was, and it's weird now because, like, I find it quite comical now.
It's good that you can laugh about it now because that shows that you've gone to the other side, Nick.
Actually, you know, it's hard to explain to children that life just keeps rolling along, and it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and you might as well just roll with it. Because it's not going to do anything else.
You literally name checked a Limp Bizkit song and an Oasis song in the same sentence there.
Rolling,
you might as well.
I was thinking of a Verve song. I can't believe I name checked Limp Bizkit then.
I couldn't leave that just hanging there. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, life, guys, life is always going to give us knocks. There's always going to be knocks in life. But the magic thing is that we will decide where we're going to stay down.
We want to
get back up.
Yeah,
exactly
that.
So we're up to
we're an hour,
Jack. I wondered if you had a final pearl of wisdom that you might not have been able to say already.
This amazing life we've got, right? It's our life, and we all need to do something to have that magical difference, leave something, make a difference in life, do something. And sometimes it doesn't have to be the most toughest thing, the biggest thing. You don't have to go and climb a mountain. You don't have to go to the gym, become Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just about caring for someone, listening to someone, basic humanity stuff, and the rest will come along. But we've got to believe in ourselves, make our goals, and try the best we can to fulfil them with this magic time that we have on this planet.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Jag. Lovely
yeah,
to
thanks,
you. Jag. You guys have heard your story. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much, mate.
It was lovely to actually get to talk to you. If I bump into you around the shops, we'll stop and say hello properly next time.
Definitely, mate. Right.
Thanks, Jag.
See you, mate. Bye, mate.
Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.